What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Coyle Girelli. How you doing, man?
Very good. How you doing?
Good, good, man. I was very excited to discover you, for one, and go back and listen to everything you've done, man, and I can't wait to dive into it.
Thanks.
And I guess before we hop into anything too much, just let us know what's been going on with you. I know it's the end of the year now. I don't know if you're winding down on anything or what have you been up to?
Winding down. Don't know if I've winded down in 20 years, but a new record came out. So I've been sort of chipping away at that post-release. And as you know, a new video for that came out last week, and a couple of shows and visiting radio stations. And I'm in the middle of finishing a new musical that I've been working on for a few years as well. So been doing that the last couple of weeks, and a million other things. Yeah,
awesome.
Always busy.
So I guess, I mean, since you brought that up, I'd be curious to know, like, what can you tell us about the musical you're working on and trying to finish up?
Yeah, so it's called Reincarnation Blues. It's based on a book by an author called Michael Poore, an American author, and I read it just before COVID. And I don't know why it made sense in my head as a musical, because it's not the easiest story to turn into a musical. But for whatever reason, while I was reading it, a lot of the lyrics were kind of singing to me, like I was hearing them as melodies. They're quite melodic. A lot of his titles for chapters and, you know, just phrases and things in the book. It's the longer I went in reading it, the more I was hearing songs and feeling like a musical in there. So I hit him up on Twitter and I said, can I turn your book into a musical? And he was like, hell yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And so that was it. And it's a story, it's a crazy story of in this world every soul gets 10,000 lives to achieve perfection. Most souls kind of achieve it in sort of a couple of hundred lives, but this one soul has got all the way to 9,995. Doesn't realize he only has five left until he's told, and so he panics and he's trying to figure it out. But at the same time, he's in love with Death, who is personified as a woman called Susie, and she just wants to be with him and wants to be alive and wants to experience life. She doesn't want to be Death. So it's this fun game of life and death, and, you know, little topics like, what is the meaning of life? What is love? What is death? Where do we go when we die? You know, what is a good life? That kind of stuff. But it's done with humor, and it's kind of crazy, and it's kind of fantastical. And, you know, even though the topics are heavy, it's told with humor and fun. And the music's beautiful, and I cannot wait to release it into the world.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very interesting concept, man. And when you go at the angle of turning it into a musical, obviously, do you come at it with a different approach than when you're, I guess, obviously, like, writing a song or something like that? And because you're putting, I guess, like a screenplay to it. Although, I guess if it's based off a book, you kind of have what you're going after there. But you still do have to, you know, kind of like put it to the stage, right? Like, what do you, what's the process, and how does that differ than what you usually do?
It's really different to write an album. I mean, the songs are songs, but the way you have to write a song in a musical is sometimes different, because you're writing for characters talking to each other, and you're trying to move a plot along and stuff like that. So it's different in that way. You kind of have to approach the voice of who's saying what in a different way. It's not just you singing a song about a girl who's broken your heart or whatever. It's like there's a conversation going on, and it's, you know, so you have to think it's a little different in that sense. But, you know, for me, at the end of the day, it's just about writing good songs. And it's not like, you know, my musicals don't sound like maybe typical musical theater musicals. I'm a sucker for melody and catchy lyrics and big songs, and so I my musicals are kind of full of those big songs that I hope people hum and sing, you know, when they leave. It's there.
Yeah, right on, man. It's funny that we kind of started talking about that. I just watched the, I'm not going to ramble on here, but I just watched the new anthology Beatles that came out. They like redid the whole thing. And there was like a big section there when Paul went to make Magical Mystery Tour and all that. So it kind of, that kind of got my, my interest really peaked at the moment.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, in terms of like songwriting from a songwriter's point of view, it's, you know, to an extent, it's like kind of the last place you can write a concept album, you know, thinking of the Beatles and the fact that, you know, Sgt. Pepper's and stuff like that, they're real concept albums. And it's like, yeah, it's, there's not really anywhere else you can kind of do that. Cause when you write an album now, you kind of, people don't put on a vinyl. Most people don't put on a vinyl and listen to it all the way through, or put on a CD and just let it play, or a tape. It's streaming. And so with streaming, you know, as you know, people pick songs and probably very rarely listen to the album in the order if they listen to the entire album at all. So, you know, so with a musical, it's like, you've got them kind of locked in there, and they're going to listen to it in the order you wrote it, whether they like it, unless they walk out, which I guess they could. But if they manage to not walk out, then you've kind of got them in a place where you can take them on a bit of a journey with your songs, which I always love. So
yeah,
that's why I love it.
That's awesome, man. So moving on a bit, one thing that really stuck out when I went back and listened to your just everything you've done, man, is your sound. Like, it's going to sound pretty like a broad point, but it is very unique. It's not one thing. Obviously you were with the Chevin and your Vegas back in the day and everything. And, but the cool thing about you is that you're not locked into that style or that sound at nothing. You can't really put it in a box. And I think nowadays that doesn't even matter with like the genre bending and the blurring of the lines. Like, I really don't think that matters much anymore. Maybe to like a marketing perspective or something, but in the grand scheme of creativity and stuff, I think that way. And I'm curious, like, I guess quite plainly, man, like how would you describe your sound and like how it might have evolved or anything like that?
In a lot of ways, I've never actually, I try not to think about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'll sit down and I'll write, and I'll write very instinctively. So I don't, obviously I'm pulling influences from things I'm listening to and things that are inspiring me and stuff, but I try not to like, well, this is my style, so I kind of have to do this type thing. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, if it was going to be anything, I guess it's very, I guess the one kind of thing that goes through everything I do is it's always very emotive and soulful and, quite romantic, I think. Not in the sense of like it's always about love, but in the sense of my lyrics, I think, are quite romantic. So it's, yeah, kind of that. But in terms of the sound, I don't know, it's very big, I guess, because it's driven by my voice. My voice is quite, you know, I have a big range. And so to satisfy my voice, I guess the songs get quite big from time to time. But that's just because they're more fun to sing that way.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's just super interesting, like as a listener, whenever I hear an artist, especially like the career you've had, like how it changes and like goes different ways and everything. And I guess kind of what I was trying to get to is, do you, and you kind of answered it there too, but as time goes on and as you put these releases out back in like your other band's days to now, do you feel it changing or evolving or progressing, whatever word you want to use? Or is it just like a natural thing? You don't really notice it doing any of that, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think you notice it. I think I'm just like, you know, right now I'm thinking about the album I'm going to do next because I want to sit down and start writing that, you know, at some point in the next couple of months. And there's a lot of things that go into it. There's a, you know, what's going on in my life, so that's going to influence you know, what goes into the songs and what's going to inspire me to write and who's going to inspire me to write. And then sonically, it's like, it really depends, because I've never, probably to my detriment, because a lot of other people do, but I've never been one who's gone, well, this is what's popular, so this is what I should write. I've always just kind of gone with what I wanted to, what I felt and what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like I said, probably to my detriment over the years, but but so it's going to kind of like, it's going to kind of be what I'm feeling. And, you know, one thing about this last record is is my first real sort of jump into, you know, country Americana, mm-hmm. you know, and being putting things like pedal steel on the record for the first time, and, you know, using slightly different chords and slightly different, you know, finger picking, you know, that it sent me in a slightly new direction that I haven't been in before. So, and I really enjoy it. And if anything, you know, I want to kind of re-record some of my old stuff
in
this newer style, because I like how it sounds when I've played it live recently. So if anything, it's probably going to be a bit of a continuation of where I'm at, but there is mm-hmm. some other stuff that I'm wanting to add to it that I've been thinking about. So,
yeah. And it's very interesting, because right now, I mean, I couldn't think of a better time to do that, quite frankly, because right now Americana is like really popping, like with mm-hmm. like the younger generation and everything, the rootsy kind of sounds, like it's cool again, I guess, to mm-hmm. put it like that. But like, so I guess, yeah, it's probably like, you'd probably be soaring pretty well in that aspect, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully. Like I said, I've never kind of done it. I've never kind of produced music in, you know, with that kind of thinking. I mean, mm-hmm. we kind of did it on our first record when we were signed to Universal Republic with Your Vegas. And they kind of, you know, there's so many conversations about the sound of guitars on alternative radio and stuff like that. And it really turned me off. Like, it's not my vibe at all to be that contrived with music. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not stupid where I'm blind to, like, I'm going to do whatever I want and no one's going to like it. But at the same time, like I said, it's usually through feel for me. And so if I feel it, then it feels right. Then that's what it is. And if I don't feel it, then, you know, and so... Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe it'll be good, or maybe everything will have changed, and by the time I get around to Americana, no one wants to hear a pedal steel ever again, and I'll have missed it by like 6 months, but whatever.
Well, as long as you're doing what you want. Like, yeah, that really is what makes stuff stick out, at least in my opinion. Yeah. But let's talk a bit about out of this town, man. I've listened to it. I re-listened to it today, and it's a fantastic album. I'll just tell you, it's great.
Thank you.
And I was wondering, how can you give us the rundown on how you like came in contact with Mac Davis and how that kind of collaboration kind of started? Because that's super interesting.
Yeah. So I was in a band called The Chevron at the time, and we were in the middle of an album cycle, and Max saw my performance with the band on the David Letterman show. And at the time, Mac and I had the same publisher. We were both published by Primary Wave. So through Primary Wave, we were connected. Mac was like, I want to work with Coil. And I was like, that's awesome. And so so the next time I was in LA, I went round to his house and didn't really know what to expect. You know, I'm an indie rock guy from Northern England, and Mac is a country music crossover legend from he's whatever how many years older than me, and I didn't really know what to kind of expect, so was a little nervous, but yeah, he's just like the best guy, and we just got on so well so quick, and you know, I think we just kind of clicked on a personal and a musical level, and we wrote our first song together kind of very quickly, you know, maybe within an hour of me being through his front door. And that was kind of it. We were kind of off to the races. And, you know, I was just kind of writing with him, one, because he's a legend and I wanted to write a song with somebody like Mac Davis. But I didn't really have any kind of plan. I think Mac did have a plan. Mac wanted to write an album with me. That was kind of Mac's plan. And so... we want to do this again. And so the next time I was in LA, we did some more writing, and it kind of went like that. And we kind of chipped away at it for several months. And eventually we had an album worth of songs and started pitching it around to people. And yeah, that was it. It was, you know, it's very, very easy to put together because we kind of worked so well together, you know, we wrote so well together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's awesome. And is there a certain thing, like maybe like the way you guys write or the commonality between you guys, like what do you think it was that made you guys gel so well?
I think, you know, I've thought about it a few times, you know, obviously, like I said, from different eras, different genres.
Mm-hmm.
Matt grew up in Lubbock, Texas, and I grew up in Otley, West Yorkshire in England, and, you know, very different seemingly kind of backgrounds. But in a lot of ways, I think we were like very similar. You know, I think to us both, music is kind of, it's spiritual. It's like a different, it's a very deep thing, like,
mm-hmm.
within us both. And I think we connected on that level, our kind of respect and appreciation and sort of care that we take with songs and lyrics and stuff is very similar. I think also the fact that we're both small town guys,
yeah,
who've kind of worked very hard to sort of get what we've got in life. We've not been sort of given anything, you know, we've kind of had to work out of little towns where people don't work in music, where we grow up. So, you know, I think on that kind of level, we're kind of quite similar. And, you know, our kind of views of the world, our paths, our kind of work ethic and our, you know, and love and appreciation of music on a really kind of spiritual level. I think we just kind of got each other as people.
Yeah. And when you guys, when you think back on your work with him to now, whether it be in the writing sense, the creative sense, or maybe just in life, is there any like kind of takeaways or I guess wisdom you could say that you really do that stayed with you since working with Mac? Or was there anything that like stuck out that you brought with you?
There was a lot. I mean, you know, I'd always loved Americana music. Like it was, you know, my dad played it a lot in the house when I was growing up, and you know, he listened to a lot of kind of like Springsteen and Jackson Brown and the Eagles and Tom Petty and, you know, Bob Dylan and stuff like that. That was like what was playing around in the house when I mm-hmm. grew up. American music has always been like a massive influence on me, but I think up until working with Mac, I think I shied away a little bit of sort of going all in. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things Mac said when we were working was like, you know, your voice is kind of built to sing these songs. It's like, this is the sound of your voice and look how well it suits the sound of these songs. And so he kind of gave me the confidence and a kind of a bit of a stamp of approval to be like, you know, just because I'm not born in America doesn't mean I can't sing this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, he really gave me, like I said, a stamp of approval and the confidence to do it. But, you know, and then on a songwriting level, you know, I think of myself as a songwriter, kind of a pre and post working with Matt. And it's hard to know exactly. It's hard to sort of put a finger on exactly what it was, but there was just something in working with him, like watching his kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but it just kind of changed the way I wrote songs after working with him. It was, because it's not like he had a method that he always did and now I always do it. It wasn't like there was one thing that I can kind of pinpoint, but there's something I got out of that just changed me as a songwriter. And I don't think I've written songs the same way since.
That's so cool. Like to hear like how that's like the most fascinating thing for me is how that creative process works, especially like with you just working with him out of the blue, you know, and him having mm-hmm. that vision with mm-hmm. you for that yeah. album and for it to turn out like it did. It's just wild. It's like he already knew this is what it's going to sound like kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just immensely talented, you know, just a yeah. genius of a songwriter. So,
for yeah. sure. And like kind of diving more into like just songwriting in general, it before like I got like I really I got into like music and learning music and stuff, I think a lot of casual listeners, they don't really think too much into the songwriting portion, like songwriters, like they think mm-hmm. all right, this is the band, this is the artist, they wrote that song. They don't think about how other people write these songs, and you go to these other people and they've written all these hits for everyone else, and like that whole world to me seems crazy. Mm-hmm. Is when you think, because I know you do this, that you write for other people as well. And when you compare writing for yourself and other people, it'd be kind of dumb to ask you like which one you like better. But like, what are there any like differences that really stand out that maybe you do prefer, or like you know, what's your kind of how do you navigate that? I guess.
Yeah. Well, I haven't written really very often for other people since COVID. It was one of yeah. the things that I kind of stopped from COVID. I write now and again for other people, but yeah, I think, you know, like you said, when I mean, I was in a band with my best friends from school, so I was writing songs because because the band needed songs. That was why I was writing yeah. songs. So I had not really ever thought about the craft of songwriting really until probably working with Mac. It was one mm-hmm. of he was one of the first people I worked with outside of the band, and then after that I went through a period of like, what would it be, 6 or 7 years when I was writing for other people, and it's a very different process, and I think, you know, you learn a lot. You know, you work. I mean, I'm so fortunate to work with so many amazingly talented songwriters, from mm-hmm. you know, people like Linda Perry and Amy Allen, and you know, just so many extremely talented people. And I think like, they will naturally kind of rub off on you, you know, yeah. working with them. And again, you take different things from different sessions, and I think, you know, it really again honed the craft of songwriting in my head. And I think it's done best when it's instinctive and you don't overthink it, like with most things in life, you know, especially creative things. Like the most important thing usually is getting out of your own way and just letting mm-hmm. whatever it is flow through you. But there are also things that you can do to kind of make your life easier and sort of prepare and be prepared to write. So, you know, I learned a lot personally from that point of view. In terms of the difference, you know, when you write something for yourself to sing, you know what it's about. You know the emotional points in the lyric. You know who you're singing to or what you're singing about or, you know, whatever. So you deliver it in that way and it means that to you. It's funny sometimes, you know, you'll write a song for somebody else. Sometimes with the artist in the room, sometimes not with the artist in the room. You write them a song and pitch it to them and their team, and then they'll take it in and record it and stuff. And then you hear it interpreted in a completely different way. I mean, the song Heartbeat that I wrote for BTS was written originally for Rihanna, mm. and it was on a acoustic guitar, and it was this, you know, had a vision for it in one way, and then it ends up with BTS, and then it's like half of it is in Korean, and you know, you could never have imagined
yeah.
that's how it would end up.
Wow.
And so it, you know, these songs kind of they take on their own life, you know, you kind of give them away at some point and then you hear them interpreted in a certain way, and if you're not part of the production of that, it's very usually completely different to how you imagined yeah. it. So
I've never yeah. thought about it like that. Like, yeah. like you, it goes through like you writing it for, and then it goes through them. And yeah, that's crazy. Like a whole different yeah. life of its own. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Babies, they have their own lives.
Yeah. That's right. And I was going to ask you, man, with all this stuff that you do, writing your own stuff, your musicals that you do, everything like that. I was going to ask you, how do you keep yourself going with all this? But you seem like the kind of guy who this is what keeps you going, essentially. Is that accurate? Like, this is what, like, you like live for this kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I get constantly excited about my next idea, you know, my next musical idea, my next album idea, my next, whatever it is. I have a million things going on that I don't even need to go into right now, but you know, I get excited about creation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that is our gift as humans, is our ability to create. And so, feel blessed to have a creative mind and to be able to live a creative life. And I just love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Coyle, thanks so much for hopping on. But before we get out of here, I would love if we could kind of like reiterate, we've been talking about it throughout the interview already, but just like what you got coming up. I know you mentioned the record you were working on, even your musical you mentioned earlier. Like, what do you got coming up that we could look forward to?
Yeah, so I'm going to start working on another record. I will probably do some of the releases in the meantime. And I did some very cool recordings earlier this year that I'll probably release at some point before another album as well. The musicals, we're in the middle of working on a concept album for Reincarnation Blues. So kind of stripped down versions of maybe 15 or 16 of the songs sung by different like Broadway and West End singers and actors and stuff. So yeah, that'll probably be coming out in the next sort of 6 months as well. And then for the show, we're racing away to get it on a stage at some point, probably in Europe first before it comes over to America. But that's the next thing. And then depending on how quickly I write my next record, which hopefully is quick. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's not. You never know until you start, but we'll see.
Right. Well, man, I'm looking forward to it. Everyone else needs to get on the Coyle train, because this is some good stuff and it's very unique. And and I assume people could find you, Coyle Girelli, everywhere, website, socials.
Yeah, all the same. Yeah, at Coyle Girelli in all the usual places. It'll be me posting nonsense, which people may or may not find interesting. I don't know.
Right on, man. But you guys all make sure to follow him. Also follow Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us and we'll pop up. So thanks everyone for listening. Coyle, again, thank you. This was a lot of fun. And
thank you, man.
We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you. Look forward.
My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?